Welcome to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast with Jacob Ayers, providing actionable content to help you along your journey to financial freedom through real estate investing. As the premier asset class, real estate has helped ordinary people just like you amass fortunes. The benefits of passive income from real estate investing will allow you to live a life you want. And now your host, entrepreneur, real estate investor, and apartment deal syndicator, Jacob Ayers.
All right, today our guest is Mark Podolsky, the land geek himself. Mark, armed with only $3,000, gut-wrenching fear, and absolutely no real estate experience, bought his first few parcels of raw land in 2001. Today, Mark is the owner of Frontier Properties, a reputable and successful land investing company, and has been buying and selling land full-time since 2001. Mark, thanks so much for joining us today.
Jacob, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, well, it's our pleasure. Mark, could you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself, how you got started investing in raw land, and kind of your journey?
Sure. So let's rewind to 2000. And at that point, I was working as a very unhappy, pretty miserable investment banker, specializing in mergers and acquisitions with private equity groups. I mean, I had a 45-minute commute to work and back. I was micromanaged. It was long hours. It was high stress. And I wouldn't get the Sunday blues anticipating Monday coming around. I'd get the Friday blues anticipating the weekend going by really fast and having to be back at work on Monday. So my firm hires this guy, and he's telling me that on the side, as a side hustle, he's buying up raw land, pennies on the dollar. He's flipping them online, and he's making an average 300% return on his investment. Well, I'm looking at companies all day long, and a great company has 15% EBITDA margins or free cash flow. Great company. Your average company is at 10%, and I'm looking at companies all day long less than 10%. So I'm really skeptical. So I go to New Mexico with him. I've got $3,000 saved up for car repairs. And I do exactly what he says to do. I buy up 10 half-acre parcels at an average price of $300 each. The next week, I put them online. And they all sell for an average price of over $1,200 each, 300%. It worked. So I took all that money, and I went to another tax deed auction in Arizona, where I live, and again, it's 2000, there's no one in the room. I'm buying up lots, I'm buying up acreage, and over the next 6 months, I sold all that property, and I made over $90,000 cash. So I go to my wife, I'm like, honey, I'm going to quit my job, and I'm going to invest in land full-time. And she's pregnant. She says, absolutely not. So I said, fine. So I invested in land part-time, and it took about 18 months for the land investing income to exceed the investment banking income. And that's when I quit. And I've been doing it full time ever since.
Yeah, that's awesome, Mark. Well, I want to just dive right into it and ask, why raw land?
So raw land as an asset for me really is pretty geeky for me, in the sense that here's an asset that I don't have to maintain. I don't have to protect. I mean, I shouldn't even own a home. I'm such a bad homeowner. Like, I can't even screw in a light bulb. So,
okay.
You know, I don't have to deal with anything physical. You know, Ted Turner says, you know, buy raw land. It's the only thing that lasts. So here's this asset that's going to outlive all of us. And so for me, it was really a phenomenal asset to buy that I felt was also scalable. So I live in Phoenix, but I can buy raw land all over the United States, and I can crowdsource my due diligence. So I don't have to physically go out and look at the land. I mean, it's just dirt. So we have people go out and take pictures, shoot video, fill out our property report, and we can buy it. And so with that sort of mentality, I've been able to automate 90% of my business so that I can work in my land investing company 2 hours a week.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, let's paint a picture for the listeners of what this raw land looks like. Are these in neighborhoods? Is this rural? Is it urban? You know, what does this land look like? Is it all the same? You know, how big are the parcels? I mean, just like paint a full picture of what this physical asset looks like for us.
So the answer is yes, 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 and yes.
Okay.
So, you know, really it's not about the land or where the land is located. Although where the land is located is important, it's about the price, right? So Jacob, I'll buy any asset, I don't care what it is, 25 cents, 30 cents on the dollar. So essentially what we want to do is, okay, so where do you live?
I live in Houston, Texas.
You're in Houston. So I go to Nevada and I see, oh, there's Jacob Ayers. He owns 10 acres in this county in Nevada and he owes $200 in back taxes on this 10 acre parcel. So Jacob, you are essentially advertising two things to me. Number one, you have no emotional attachment to that raw land. You live in Houston, the property is in Nevada. And number two, you're distressed in some way because when we don't pay for something, we don't value it anymore. And you haven't paid your property taxes. So I don't know what's going on with you, but there's something going on with you. So yeah, essentially okay. What I'll do is I'll look at the comparable sales in that area for the last 12 to 18 months. I'm going to take the lowest comps, I'm going to divide by four, and I'm going to send you an actual offer for your 10 acre parcel. So let's say for our example that Nevada parcel is selling on average for about $10,000. The most I'm going to offer you is $2,500. Now, you're going to accept that offer. You owe $200 in back taxes. You're in Houston. $2,500 for you is better than nothing because the treasurer keeps sending you notices every single month. If you don't pay your property taxes, you are eventually going to lose it to a tax deed or a tax lien investor. So you accept it. In reality, 3 to 5 people accept our quote unquote top dollar offer. And this also saves me a lot of time because I'm not like the housing guys saying, hey, I'm interested in buying your house. Well, I'm interested in selling my house. And now we're in a negotiation. So I don't want to be in the appraisal business. I'm sending you an actual offer. So now you accept it. And then I go through my in-depth research. Number one, I want to confirm you still own that property. Number two, I want to make sure you only owe $200 in back taxes. I don't want it eating up my margin. Number three, I want to make sure that there's no liens, there's no encumbrances, clouding title. Number four, I want to make sure there's no breaks in the chain of title. And I'm going to go on and on with my property checklist, right? Everything checks out. And now I buy the property from you for $2,500. And then Jacob, I have a built-in best buyer to buy that property for $10,000 or more. Do you know who it is?
Who?
The neighbors! The neighbors.
Okay.
So I sent out neighbor letters saying, hey, look, before I go to the open market, here's your opportunity. Expand your holdings. Protect your privacy. Protect your view. Sometimes the neighbors will buy it. And the way that I'll sell it is I'll get $2,500 as a down payment. So I'm going to get my capital out on the down payment or within 6 months of the down payment. And then I'm just going to make it a car payment. I'm going to make it irresistible. 440th. 9% interest for the next 8 years. So now I've created a passive income stream of $449 a month for the next 8 years, and I don't have to deal with any renters, rehabs, renovations, or rodents. And Jacob, because I'm not dealing with the tenant, I'm exempt from Dodd-Frank, RESPA, and the SAFE Act, this onerous real estate legislation. So essentially the game that we play then is, can we create enough of these passive income notes or these owner financing notes that it exceeds our fixed expenses. And then we're working because we want to, not because we have to. And essentially we're getting out of what I call solo economic dependency, which means if you're not working, you're not bringing in any income.
Mark, I love it. And it's a really interesting model you found and you're making it work for you. Let's dig into the nuts and bolts and just kind of recap what you're doing here. So you are buying through tax deed auctions, it sounds.
No, no, but we want to avoid a tax deed auction now because the tax deed auction is competitive today, right? So we want to go straight to the property owner before it gets a tax deed auction.
Okay. So we're going directly to the owner before it reaches the tax deed auction because that's where it gets competitive. So step one, that's how we're buying. And then we're going to turn around and market it to the most probable buyers, the neighbors, and we're going to sell this on seller financing terms. So do I have that right now?
That's correct. Now, if the neighbors pass, we're going to go to our buyers list. If the buyers list passes, we're going to go to a little website you've probably never even heard of called Craigslist. It's the 10th most trafficked website in the United States. There's also a smaller website you may have never heard of called Facebook. And we'll use Facebook buy sell groups as well. And then we can go to Landmodo, landsofamerica.com, landflip.com. There's all these lands. And we can also sell that property there. But we want to sell that property 30 days or less.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is really interesting stuff, Mark. So how are you making this work for you? Kind of let's talk about how you've automated it, scaled it, and are able to run this model remotely. I think those are three really unique features of this.
Right. So the answer is software and then software and then software and then virtual assistants and more software. So the first thing we do is we have a proprietary software system. And essentially what we'll do is we'll get that list from either the county treasurer or the county assessor. We're going to turn that into a CSV file. Using our software, we're going to upload that list into our program, which will then, we're going to scrub out all the commercial property and the industrial property, the houses, and we're going to sort by use code. And we're just going to get the vacant land, so VL. So we just have the vacant land. We're going to do one more batch by acreage because I don't want to send an offer to somebody that has 10 acres, the same offer that has 1 acre to the person that has 10 acres because a 10-acre person is going to send me glitter back in the mail. So then we're going to do our pricing. We're going to have the automation using lob.com and API send out our offers. Right now, when the offers come back, we're going to use our software again, and we're going to have our virtual assistant go in and fill out our due diligence report, and we're going to follow that process along. So we have a team in the Philippines. We pay about $11 for our due diligence on deals that are $5,000 or less. If it's $5,000 or more, we're going to close through a title company. But essentially, they'll still do the same thing as a title company because the software that they're using is hooked up with American Title Company. So now when we buy that property, we're going to use some virtual assistants to start listing that property and some automation. So we use a program called postingdomination.com/thelandgeek. And essentially I can put up about 120 ads by pressing a button on the Craigslist and Facebook buy sell groups. So now we're automating our marketing. Then once we sell the property, our software is going to kind of lead us down that road. And then we're going to automate using geekpay.io, collecting and managing money from our borrowers. So we're going to get our down payment using geekpay.io, and then it will automatically start hitting their checking account every single month. And it'll also do our amortization and all the calculations for us. It'll automate notifications. So everywhere along the line of my business, we're at 90% automated, living by one principle, that is, I can always make more money, but I can't get more time. So what can we do every single day that's going to save us time? Even if it's only 5 seconds, how can I eliminate that 5 seconds from my life forever?
Mark, holy smokes, my head is spinning. You are not kidding when you mean you have automated through software and all these processes. All I got out of that was there is a lot of automation, a lot of behind the scenes, and a lot of tools you have in place to help make these processes automatic, and you're outsourcing the manual tasks to virtual assistants. So it sounds like you've got it down to a science here.
Yeah, we have worked really hard on it. We continue, every week, we have team meetings and we keep asking those tough questions. How can we make this better? Where's a pain point we can solve? How can we make this more efficient? Are we still using, this tool? Is there a better one out there that's less money? And so we work on that every single week.
Yeah, okay. Well, Mark, some of the listeners might be wondering who buys this raw land from you if it's not the neighbors. So you might have a small parcel in a remote area. What kind of buyer is interested in this raw land that you're going to be selling?
Yeah, I mean, Jacob, I don't think people realize there is a lust for land in this country. So, I don't know if you've ever heard of the prepper movement. These are millions of people that are hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst. And they need a piece of raw land to bug out to. Military people love raw land. People that don't like people want rural land. legacy investors. These are people that want to increase their net worth to show their banker. I've got a CEO in San Diego. He has a note with me. It's $5,000 a month every month. When he pays off that note, he invests another $5,000 a month every month and keeps buying tranches of portfolios of raw land from me. And I'm like, Don, what are you going to do with all this land? He's like, I just think it's cool, right? So it's just a legacy investment for him. For a lot of people, it's what I call man jewelry. They just like the idea of owning this piece of raw land that has no restrictions. They can go out there, do whatever they want to do on it. So oftentimes it's a legacy investment. But there's a pig for every barn. I mean, I bought a piece of property on the side of a mountain in New Mexico. It was 40 acres for $2,500. And I thought, man, this is a big mistake. You can't even access this parcel. Like only 15 acres of it are even, usable. So I thought, oh, I'll just put up on eBay and I'll put it at $1, no reserve auction for 10 days. The first day it got bid up to $2,500. By the 10th day, it was at $32,500. And I'm like freaking out. I'm like, oh no, this guy's gonna be so mad at me when he finds out it's on the side of a mountain. So I call him up. I'm like, you saw the maps, right? You realize it's on the side of a mountain. Only 15 acres are even accessible. He's like, it's perfect. He turned out to be a film director in LA that wanted to film in that area and didn't want to have to deal with getting permits. So there literally is a pig for every barn. I've never, since I've started this business, been stuck with a piece of land.
Wow, that's pretty interesting, Mark. So let's kind of get back in the nuts and bolts again and talk about how you're doing your due diligence on this property. I mean, you said that location is not the most important thing to you, which is a unique thing to say about real estate, because what I like to say is the location is the only thing you can't change about a piece of property. And that's kind of more like rental property geared. But you say, interestingly enough, location is not the most important thing to you, price is. So when you're doing your due diligence, what kind of qualities and features do you look for, if anything?
Yeah, I mean, I have a really, like, I'm not a land snob. I learned that the hard way. I once bought a buddy of mine, we went to New Mexico to get together. And I mean, I'm telling you, this stuff looked like Chernobyl. It was the ugliest land I've ever seen. And we could buy it over the counter from the county for $50 a lot. And they were like 5-acre lots. So wow. I'm like, I'm not buying this stuff. I'm like, this is a lawsuit. People are going to go out there. They're going to hate it. So my buddy's like, well, I'll just buy it for $50 and just see what happens. So every week he would email me a new sale and I would email him back refund. Right. And then he'd email me another sale. I'd email him back refund/lawsuit. This went on for 6 months. He sold all the property. He didn't have one refund. And he literally made over $100,000 while I sat there and thought, well, man, that's crazy. So that was a hard lesson to learn. But essentially, it's a weird, weird niche. I mean, I had somebody buy 5 acres from me and they called me up and they said, do you realize, this is in Colorado, do you realize there's rattlesnakes out there? I'm like, no, I didn't know there's rattlesnakes. He's like, yeah, and I hunt rattlesnakes. So he bought 5 acres. And then his buddy called me up the next day and wanted to buy the adjoining lot because the two of them won 10 acres to just hunt rattlesnakes on the property. So the due diligence for me is basically no liens or encumbrances, no breaks in the chain of title. I want to make sure there's something compelling about the property. Are there mountain views? Is it near something cool? Is there water nearby? What can you do on it? Even if you can only, camp on it, what's the camping like? So I just want to be able to give a really realistic sort of idea of what that buyer can do on that property. And my threshold is really low.
Yeah, okay. Well, it sounds like many investors out there kind of underestimate the value of this raw land to a lot of people. Many people just want a place to get away, a place to go for the weekend, maybe just something recreational. So it's not like they need a lot on this land. They don't necessarily need utilities or need any kind of infrastructure. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they again, it's like man jewelry. They just like the way it feels to own raw land.
Yeah. Well, Mark, can you kind of give us a little compare and contrast of raw land versus rental real estate? Maybe just like compare it to a duplex in terms of, we kind of are starting to get the painted picture of the difference in the physical assets. But when it comes to, you know, taxes and management, that kind of thing, could you give us some compare and contrast of what it's like to that asset class?
Sure, sure. So I started with $3,000. I had a buddy, Duran, start with $800. I've got clients that literally have no money. If you can lock up that asset 25 cents on the dollar, you don't even need money to start in raw land. If you wanted to go buy a duplex, you're going to have to put down 30%.
Yeah.
Right? Where are you going to get that 30%? So now you're going to have to either have the money, you're going to have to get a private money lender, you're going to have to go to hard money, maybe you have to go conventional financing, right? So you've got, that's the first piece is money. The second piece is dealing with a physical asset. You've got maintenance, you've got utilities, you've got issues with wear and tear and depreciation on that physical asset. Raw land, there's nothing to maintain, nothing to protect. It's very simple. It's just you, a buyer, and a piece of land. That's it. Three pieces. With a duplex, you have everything that comes with that duplex, and that could be maintenance on the roof. That could be maintenance with the HVAC unit. That might mean that the plumbing is going bad. You might have an unruly tenant that is quietly destroying your asset, right? Maybe you have a tenant that is going to be very hard to evict. We use land contracts, so there's no costs or foreclosure. So if somebody stops paying me, they have 30 days to cure their default. If they don't cure it, I keep the down payment. I keep the monthly payments. I resell that asset to another person, and there's been nobody having to relocate or kick off or anything like that. So that's another advantage of the raw land asset over this physical asset of a duplex. And then you have the person that can afford the duplex and the rent, and the person who can afford the raw land. So because our margins are 300 to 1,000%, we have this huge buyer pool that can afford, you know, a car payment, let's say from $99 a month all the way to $5,000 a month. Where a duplex, you're going to have to be competing with all the rents and the local rents in that area. Can you compete with the apartments? Can you compete with, you know, mobile homes? What's going to happen with the economy? So essentially, you're going to have a lot higher competition, right? And then you have a lot higher competition just to get that duplex. So if you're getting it at a good price, right? Why are you getting it at a good price? Why isn't some other big fund getting it? In raw land investing, there's no hedge funds, there's no private equity groups, there's no big money. In fact, Jacob, if we go to a REIA meeting and there's 100 people in that real estate investment meeting, right? 99 of them are going to be either landlords, house flippers, or wholesalers. You and I, Jacob, would be the only land guys in that room. You won't go on HGTV or the DIY network and see flip this land. It's the most unsexy niche imaginable. It's just me in front of my computer. So, and that's the other issue, is that duplex is a physical asset that you have to go and visit, right? And do your due diligence on that asset, where, and maybe have to improve. Where a piece of raw land, you don't even have to visit it, you don't have to improve it. So it also saves you time. So when you factor in the time and the margins, it is a vastly superior model to any other real estate niche. Now, I will say that the one advantage that a duplex has over raw land is the answer of, well, nobody needs a piece of raw land. People need a place to live. And if you look at your life, 99% of the things that you own, you don't need.
Right? Oh, that's very true.
So, you know, I would say now it's a wash. Now, as far as depreciation is concerned, because you do get that tax write-off. Raw land lasts forever, so you can't depreciate it. But if you invest using a qualified retirement plan or a self-directed IRA, you can build these massive 300 to 1,000% returns in your retirement vehicle, tax deferred or tax free, and then you can basically eliminate the tax benefits of depreciation in the raw land model. So this is why I've got a podcast called the Best Passive Income Model Podcast.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's so much to dig in there, Mark, but really kind of going back to comparing and contrasting raw land to, you know, buy and hold real estate. Some of the benefits raw land poses are no financing is required. You can get started with very little or even no money upfront. There are very little and potentially even no operating or holding costs of raw land. You don't have to carry insurance and all the things you have to do with buy and hold real estate. So yeah, just some interesting compare and contrasts there for those people, you know, comparing these two asset classes.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, one question I've got, Mark, is on the seller financing end of these transactions. Does that trigger any capital gains tax if you're postponing that sale, you know, maybe beyond 1 year? Are you avoiding capital gains tax that way?
So to be, you know, completely responsible, I don't want to talk about the tax ramifications.
Sure.
Because I'm not a CPA. So I would say that if you are curious about the tax benefits of owning the land for a year and a day and getting capital gains treatment, you should go to your CPA that has real estate experience in this niche, right? Now, that would be the responsible answer to that. I would say that the way that I structure it is I do get capital gains.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, well, that's just one other feature that is beneficial to this model. So I just wanted to dig in there. Well, Mark, why would you encourage someone who's just starting out, maybe looking at buying their first rental property, to consider raw land?
Well, because it's simple, right? It's a lot less brain damage. You don't need a lot of capital. It's not going to, you know, affect your credit. And you've got nothing to maintain, nothing to protect. It's basically a headache-free way of creating passive income. And it's scalable. You can do it from anywhere in the world. All you need is a laptop, a internet connection, and a virtual mailbox, and you're in business. You can record deeds now using simplifile.com. So you don't even have to physically mail out deeds anymore. It's literally the best time ever to be in business. So I would say that, you know, you're going to have to do some volume as opposed to conventional real estate. But, you know, once you get to, let's say, $10,000 a month in passive income, and if we do our math, that's about 22 land deals, an average price of, $200 a month note income, you're there. And then you don't have to deal with any tenants, toilets, termites, or trash.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a good enough reason for one to consider this raw land model. So really interesting stuff there, Mark. Hey, I want to ask about some of your best and worst deals. Do you have a good war story and a good, like, great story of some raw land deals you've done?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say the biggest mistake I made was I bought in a community in Western Pennsylvania. And it was outside of my area. It was outside of my niche. I just fell in love with this community. There were $1 million homes in there. It was gated, had two PGA rated golf courses, three lakes, and it was overdeveloped. And so all these lots are just sitting there with no homes. And yet the property owners association was not getting any revenue from those lot owners, and the county wasn't getting any tax revenue from, you know, those lot owners. So I go in there, I said, look, let's just do a workout. If I sell these properties for a dollar and you guys collect a dollar on property taxes and your POA fees, that's more than what you're getting right now. You have dead money and I can make five. So it took about 3 years to convince them. And then we're going into about 2007 that I get all these lots, and I bought about 1,000 lot. I didn't pay much for them, but essentially I thought, well, this is going to be the best deal ever. Well, 2008 came around. I only made $100,000 on that deal, and I had to give back all those lots because there's just no market because people didn't want to pay the POA fees along with the property. And so the lesson that I learned was, you know, I really didn't value my time well, because it took 3 years. And when I calculated my time, I broke even on that deal. So that was my worst deal. My best deal, I bought, hundreds of thousands of acres from the railroad in Nevada. We bought 640 acre sections. We subdivided them into 40s. I made over $5 million just on that one deal.
Wow. Well, that sounds like quite the home run there. So
that was a great deal.
Awesome. Well, Mark, you've already touched base a little bit on it, but could you kind of tell us the details about how you've built your team in terms of pulling together virtual assistants and maybe some of the selection of software you've used?
Right. So for the software I use, right now I'm using as a CRM. I love Airtable.com. The rest of the software I use is going to be Zapier.com, which integrates a lot of other software platforms so they can talk to each other. But then I've got my own proprietary stuff because I didn't want to be dependent on these third-party platforms and their pricing. So we hired a developer in India and basically hard-coded a lot of what we were doing between three or four different software platforms. So we kind of made ourselves bulletproof in that case. But, you know, essentially we bought office space in the Philippines. We got a really good team there. We train them really well. They run my business, and we've got systems and processes in place so that everyone's really well trained. They're really highly motivated, and we're completely bulletproof as far as our staffing is concerned now. And so I would say that as far as, you know, the way that you could be looking at running your business is just having that discipline every single day of going on the web and looking at different ways that you can automate something, even if it only takes you 5 minutes, and looking at ways to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a good key takeaway from this conversation up to this point, Mark, is even if you're not going to participate in raw land investing, building these systems, and I love the key you just used there, self-discipline, having the self-discipline to do something every day towards this business. But I really, really like the systems and processes you've built, and I like what you're doing there. So I think you could even take those key qualities of raw land investing and apply them towards other areas of your life if you don't choose to participate in this asset class. So yeah, I just wanted to touch base on that really quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Mark, what are your future goals and what are your reasons why? Why are you out there buying all this raw land, and, you know, what are your goals with everything?
Yeah, so I want to be a good ancestor. That's really my major goal in life. And so to be a good ancestor for me is to live this sort of principle-driven life, right? So, and I'm actually writing a book about it because, you know, there was a time when in 2006, I was just out of control and I was making so much money. I had Parkinson's law of money. The more money I made, the more money I spent. And I thought, oh, I'm going to be happy. And it really was sort of this terrible, you know, realization that nothing was enough. And the reason nothing was enough was I wasn't enough. And so for me, to teach my children and my clients and help other people realize, like, what is enough for you, right? And then kind of help guide them to be this ancestor of, like, you know, here's some principles that can really help you in life so that no matter what happens externally, you're going to feel really good internally. And some of these principles I talk about are going to be gratitude, humility, embracing the suck, deepening relationships, always, you know, having in the back of your mind, relationships at the end of your life are really what you're going to look back on. And is what you're doing now either, you know, deepening relationships, or are you closed, right, to your relationships because you're out there, you know, doing things and living in a way that's really not synergistic to your core values. Humility, embracing the suck, and all these things, I think, you know, really help guide me to knowing that, hey, look, I probably have maybe 10,000 days left on earth if I'm lucky, right? How do I want to spend them? And for me, it's going to be about, you know, creating this lifestyle and using frontier properties and my passive income to create this vehicle where I can eliminate this big bucket of stress in my life called money and just work when I want, where I want, and with whom I want, and live the way that I'd completely want to and just be totally free.
Yeah, Mark. Well, some pretty deep stuff there. And it's kind of like asking yourself these hard questions. So I think that's a really great answer. And I love everything you just mentioned there about, you know, leaving a legacy and, you know, being a good ancestor. I think that's really, really interesting and not something everyone thinks about. So, and you're able to do that with, you know, this model of raw land investing. It helps you, you know, build this legacy and build wealth for your family. So really great stuff. I love it.
Thank you.
Well, Marcus, we're wrapping up here. We've got a lightning round. We ask every one of our guests just a series of a few questions we'd like to fire at you. How does that sound?
I'm ready. Bring it.
Okay. First question is, what was your biggest hurdle getting started investing in real estate, and how'd you overcome it?
I think my biggest hurdle, I didn't really have one getting started. I think scaling was my biggest hurdle, and letting go and kind of coming to the realization that, you know, people care. And, you know, if I'm doing everything myself, even though I think I might be the best at it, I'm never going to grow.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. I like it. Well, Mark, do you have a personal habit that contributes to your success?
I meditate every morning.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. What kind of resource do you, is it self-guided? Do you have any kind of along like app or anything?
Yeah. I use the Headspace app.
Okay. That's what I was getting at. I just downloaded that a few months ago and I really like it. I enjoy it. So without it, I just wouldn't know what to do in terms of like how to meditate, you know? So it's a really good resource. Recommend it to everyone.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great because, you know, there's so many times where I'll be stressed out and I'm, now that I'm more aware of my thoughts and kind of knowing like, oh my gosh, I'm not in the present moment. My mind is just racing. I don't have to take those thoughts as seriously and make an impulsive decision.
Yeah. Wow. So insightful there. Yeah. It's a really good takeaway from just meditation alone. So good stuff. Well, Mark, do you have an online resource that you find valuable?
An online resource I find valuable. I love Zapier.com. I'm in there every day. I think that might be the most valuable web app out there. I love Fiverr. I love Upwork for inexpensive virtual assistants. Airtable.com is amazing. Smartsheet.com is amazing. I love all those resources.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we'll link all of those in the show notes. Some of those are new to me. Some of them, of course, they're much more familiar to the audience members like Upwork and Fiverr. Great resources there. So we'll link those in the show notes if any of our listeners want to check those out and learn more about them. Mark, what book would you recommend to the listeners and why?
So is it okay to plug my own book? Or I'll give you two books.
I don't want to be that guy.
So I just published my first book called Dirt Rich, How One Ambitiously Lazy Geek Created Passive Income in Real Estate Without Renters, Renovations, and Rehabs. And it kind of talks you through my journey and then, you know, breaks down everything that we talked about on the podcast in a lot more detail. But besides, you know, obviously, you know, my own book.
A little biased.
I would say that a book that I just read that was really, really powerful. Is it okay if it's not a real estate book? I'll give you a real
estate book. Absolutely. Give us anything.
You know, this is really meaty, but man, it was really good. And he talks a lot. He uses sort of stories about the Bible, but you don't have to be religious. You know, it's sort of like this ancient wisdom type of thing.
Okay.
But Christianity is sort of his anchor in that. It's 12 rules for life, an antidote to chaos. Jordan B. Peterson, this is a Harvard psychologist, and then I think he's a professor at Toronto. It's blowing up. It's really, really, it was a really great book. And then it's for those people that are really interested in spirituality or meditation, you know, kind of being in the now, I'd say Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now is amazing. Waking Up is amazing. I would say that for me, I have a problem with focus. Deep Work by Cal Newport has been a really great book as well. For those people that have difficulty with shiny object syndrome and they kind of jump from thing to thing, Grit is a great book by Angela Duckworth. I really, really enjoyed that. And then you know, if you're having a difficult time taking responsibility in life, The Subtle Art of Not Giving Enough by Mark Manson.
Just read that. Yeah. Okay. Well, to recap all of those, you're always over-delivering, Mark, and once again, over-delivering on your book recommendations here. So first, we've got Dirt Rich by yours truly, Mark Podolsky. That's a recent book, so check that out. And then we've got The 12 Rules of Life by Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson has just blown up on the scene with this new book. I've seen him all around promoting it. It's a New York Times bestseller, something that's on my reading list, so I'm going to be sure to pick that up. And then we've got The Power of Now, Deep Work, and Grit, a few more books I jotted down here. And then lastly, The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F. So yeah, really interesting book there. It's not quite like what it sounds, so don't let the title fool you. It's actually a pretty deep, pretty interesting book. So we'll link all of those books in the show notes for our audience to pick up if they're interested in reading any of those, learning more about what kind of inspires Mark. So Mark, last question we've got for you. If you were to give advice to your 20-year-old self to get started investing in real estate, what would it be?
I would say I'd put on a poster in my office or on my desk or in my wallet, and I would look at this quote every single day, and I would live by this quote. If you'll do for the next 3 to 5 years what other people won't do, you'll be able to do for the rest of your life what other people can't do. And that's a Zig Ziglar quote. So if for the next 3 to 5 years you devote and have a laser focus on building your net worth with real estate investing, you'll be able to do the rest of your life what other people can't do.
Man, so powerful, and I love it. Definitely holds true. Zig Ziglar is one of those guys that's just full of so much wisdom and a ton of great quotes. So yeah, I think I like the visualization recommendation, hanging a poster on your wall and looking at that every day. Really powerful stuff. So Mark, it's been a really interesting conversation, a unique one, unique ideas, and a new asset class that's introduced to us here on the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast. Many of our listeners probably haven't given much consideration to raw land. If this interests them, you actually teach a course. You have a ton of free information out there about how to help people get started. Could you tell us how people can find you, connect with you, learn more about this model and about what you're doing?
Yeah, I think the best place to start is just thelandgeek.com, thelandgeek.com. And they can even go to thelandgeek.com/dirtrich and get the first chapter of the book for free, along with some bonuses. And I think that's the best place to start. And then Jacob, if they email support@thelandgeek.com, and they put in the subject line, the Real Estate Way or Jacob Ayers, we'll send them our $97 passive income launch kit course for free.
Oh, well, thank you so much for that, Mark. So that is support@thelandgeek.com. Just mention this podcast or my name or something along those lines to reference Mark, let you know you heard about this offer on this show, and you'll get that free kit. So Mark, thanks so much for that. You've been a great guest, lots of content. We look forward to having you back on in the future.
Thanks, Jacob. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. Take care.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast, providing you actionable content to build your real estate empire. Nothing on this show should be considered specific, personal, or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, financial, or business professional for personal advice. The opinions of guests are their own. Information is not guaranteed. All investment strategies have a potential for profit or loss. The host is operating on behalf of the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom, LLC, exclusively.